It is a good thing when people are not stuck signing up for unemployment benefits. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Tomorrow, the big jobs report of the month. It'll cover September, and it's the next to last one before the presidential election. What we got today was word that the number of new people signing up for unemployment benefits dropped yet again and is down at a more than 40-year low. Normally in Los Angeles, but today gracing us with his presence in our New York bureau, is Jeffrey Cleveland, chief economist at Payden and Riegel. Good to see you.
Pleasure to see you, David.
So, weekly claims for unemployment. We get that every week. Often I take it with a grain of salt because there's volatility week to week. You think what just happened is significant?
It's a proxy, David, for layoff activity, and layoffs are incredibly low, telling us that the labor market is pretty strong. It's the best labor market, in fact, going back to the early 1970s, if you look at it in terms of the absolute low. So 249,000 claims is really low.
I assume that should bode well for the big employment and unemployment report tomorrow.
It should. We also tend to look at the sustained period of low layoffs being a good sign for the job growth activity generally. So layoffs have been below the 300,000 level, David, that's the key threshold for 83 consecutive weeks. And for that, to beat that, you got to go back to 1970.
So those of us who want to keep our jobs or find a new job that pays more, this is all good news. Wall Street is complaining a little bit this morning, I guess because it might suggest higher interest rates sooner rather than later.
If the economy is doing well, the labor market is tight, that means the Federal Reserve is back in play, perhaps with a rate hike sometime later this year.
Jeffrey Cleveland at Payden and Riegel, thank you for the briefing.
No problem. Don't cry for Wall Street.
And indeed, in early trading, the Dow Jones Industrial Average was down more than 100 points. We can now say that the global climate change deal reached in Paris last year will become official on November the 4th. This after 10 countries, Austria, Bolivia, Canada, France, Germany, also Hungary, Malta, Nepal, Portugal, and Slovakia filed their ratification papers. The Paris Accord triggers soon after countries representing 55% of the world's carbon emissions sign on. President Obama yesterday called this a turning point for our planet. Republican House Speaker Paul Ryan said this should have required Senate approval. Roger Harriman is the environment analyst from our partner broadcaster, the BBC.
The big polluters, the US, China, now number one polluter, India, the EU have all ratified. But the big question now is, you know, what are they going to do about it? So even today, there are reports in the media that the US is going to miss the emissions reduction target that they submitted to Paris. And the international community has accepted now is that there really is no legal comeback on this issue. It's impossible to have a global treaty which will bind countries in facing potential punishment if they fail to hit their targets. So the real issue now is not how many countries sign. The real issue is what are the big polluters going to do to really cut their emissions?
And just to follow up, the mechanism for enforcement is really some sort of global approbation, shaming, embarrassing countries into doing what they're supposed to do.
That's right. And that may work insofar as the US and China goes. Chinese on climate and pollution issues tend to under-promise and over-deliver. But whether it comes to other nations, you know, there will be other nations who will think, well, actually, we don't mind being named and shamed. We're too small and we can't be bothered. So, I mean, it is just such a monumental challenge. I mean, just to remind you, I think most people really haven't grasped this yet. At Paris, it was agreed that by the end of the century, we would be out of fossil fuels completely. Fossil fuels on which the entire industrial revolution and all our modern wealth depend. We will have stopped using it by the end of the century, and advanced countries like the UK and the USA around the middle of the century will be out of fossil fuels completely. That's only 35 years for a complete industrial revolution. People have not got their heads around that yet.
The BBC's environment analyst Roger Harriman in London. Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Washington Post columnist Alan Sloan wrote a piece that's attracting a lot of attention online. When the folks at the New York Times got a hold of a slice of Donald Trump's 1995 tax return, their focus was on the nearly $1 billion loss that was declared, something that might mean Mr. Trump paid no income tax for some or many years. But when Mr. Sloan, a man who also knows his way around dense financial data, looked at that tax return fragment, he noticed something else of interest, and he's here to talk about it. Alan, good to see you.
Good morning, David.
So, all right, the loss, but what else should we be looking for?
There was an item on the tax return that fascinated me, which the Times didn't write about, and I don't know that anyone has written about except me, where it's carrying over a loss of like $15.8 billion from a whole lot of different things.
So that's not a big number compared to 900-something million, but you thought it was interesting.
But it more than wiped out all of the income that he reported for the year and left him with a net loss, even without this $900 million. And it seems to be the result of a special break that goes to real estate developers, but not to mortals like Brancaccio and Sloan.
All right. This is the line on the tax return that's labeled Rental Real Estate Royalties Partnerships, S-Corp, Trusts, et cetera, et cetera. But why is that not available to more people?
Well, it has to do with, heaven help us, the loss limitations requirements of Section 469 of the tax code.
You see old Section 469.
You see why I didn't want to tell you? Someone like you or I cannot use any losses we have from certain real estate expenses to offset other income. But if you're, as defined, a real estate developer, as I assume Trump is, you can use those losses to shelter other income. Now, this isn't as sexy as $900 million, but it's a lot of money, and my bet would be he's been doing it for years because it's in the tax code.
Now, when the Republican candidate says, in response to some of this, that he's just a smart businessman, he's reducing his tax bill, you think there's some logic to that?
No. What I think is, if he were truly smart and wanted to lead by example, he would release his tax returns, say, here is A, B, C, and D, the tax gimmicks that I used, and what we're going to do is wipe them out so people like me will not be at an advantage compared to people like you.
Washington Post columnist Alan Sloan is also editor-at-large at ProPublica. Alan, thank you.
My pleasure, David.
And if you've been on a commercial flight over the last month or so, you will know that pre-flight briefing is not an advertisement for the Samsung Galaxy Note 7 these days. The flight attendant comes on announcing that if you have one with the original battery, you have to turn it off and leave it off, and they mean it. Those batteries were prone to catching fire. Now Samsung is investigating reports that a Samsung Galaxy Note 7 with the replacement battery may have started giving off smoke on a Southwest Airlines flight yesterday. An Indiana passenger noticed this. The FAA is also investigating. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.